Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this evening is taken from the second chapter of St. Luke. You may have heard about relationships. Do you have any relationships? Your relationships? How are they going for you? The man and the woman were hiding from God. They were hiding from God like children hide from their parents when they've done something wrong. While they were hiding from God in the woods, Genesis 3 verse 8, they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now the omniscient, all-knowing God, he knew where they were, but still he called out to Adam, "Where are you?" You know, God doesn't need us. God wants us, but he doesn't need us. God wants us because God is fundamentally a social being. He created us in his image so that he could have a relationship with us. And that is the natural state of being, that man should have a relationship with God, and the first couple did. It was not unusual, but it was normal for God to be walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You go for a walk, you talk, but where are they? It's a yes or no. Where are you? Adam says that he was afraid. And the omniscient, all-knowing God knew why. He asked Adam if he had eaten the forbidden fruit. Yeah, that's a yes or no. Adam blamed God for giving him his wife. "The woman you gave me to be with, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Oh. "And Eve, what about you?" "The snake fooled me, and I ate." So God cursed the ground, cursed the snake, cursed with childbirth, and promised that one day he's going to fix this thing. The man was dreading the trip. It would not be a hard journey, 70 miles in two, maybe 3 days, but the timing could not be worse. His wife was pregnant, almost to term, but she was young and strong, and she would not slow him down. The most unpleasant part of the journey was the part between going there and going back home. Like most people, I think, the man hated paying taxes with a passion. The Romans, they had never met a tax they did not love, and they would spend as much time as they needed examining his taxable life. Their tax system, you think ours is, their tax system was complicated. Value-added tax on goods and services, property taxes, customs taxes, import-export taxes, crop taxes, sales tax, special taxes when there was a war, building project, always a building project or campaign to finance. Complicated. And the woman, she wasn't looking forward to the trip. It would not be a hard journey, but the baby was coming any day. It was her firstborn, and she wanted to deliver at home, surrounded by family and friends, not on the road, away from the familiar, in a land that might be hostile and unforgiving. And she thought ahead. When they arrived at Bethlehem, where were they going to stay? Where was her baby going to be born? She had heard about the chaos that was a Roman census. It was more than just a census. They counted people. But the main purpose was to harvest information to determine which of the myriad of taxes could be applied to her husband. And she worried that when you added the temple tax, other religious obligations, and now a new mouth to feed, her husband was going to have to do a lot of building. For companionship, and mostly for safety, they traveled with others. And some they knew, some were strangers. When they stopped and they talked, the couple compared notes. And you know, if not for the visit of angels to her, to him, they really would not have known quite what to make of this whole thing. She was pregnant, but they both knew that they had not done what you have to do to make a baby. The angel called her things like favored and blessed. Elizabeth had called her the mother of my Lord and said that her baby leaped in the womb at Mary's approach. And she said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Joseph told her of his confusion and his doubts and how the angel came to him and told him he would not have known what to make of it all. Sounded like a prophecy, messianic prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7. Mary and Joseph were headed to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. Samuel the judge and priest had come to Bethlehem looking for a king who would rule after Saul, who was out. He just didn't know it yet. It would be one of the sons of a shepherd named Jesse. They lined him up. Not him. Nope, not him. Have you got any other sons, Jesse? Well, David the runt. He's out in the field with the sheep. And the runt came to be known as David the Great, the standard by which all other kings of Israel would be judged and fall short. But more than that, David, his son Solomon, and his descendants after them, now Joseph, from that line would come Messiah, the Christ, promised first in the garden to Adam through Eve's descendants, right after the fall into sin, that God was going to fix this thing. And it was not an uncommon sight around Bethlehem, shepherds and sheep out in the pastures, bedded down for the night. You couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a shepherd in those fields. And the angels, it looks like, were not finished, at least with one group of exalted shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Where have you been, glory of the Lord? They were not weak men, or timid, or easily frightened. But the angel tells them to stop being afraid. And then tells them why. There's a reason why these exalted shepherds should stop being afraid. And the angel gives the reason. If I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The glory of the Lord. That means the presence of God on earth. In the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord had been located in the Ark of the Covenant from the time of Moses, and then it was located in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, the glory of the Lord. It was taken away by the Philistines and the Assyrians, but Ezekiel said that it would one day return, this glory of the Lord, and now the glory of the Lord, it's back. Oh, and everybody knew that the city of David, term occurs 40 times in the Old Testament, is Jerusalem, not Bethlehem. So the angel told the shepherds that there would be a sign for them, and they waited to hear what the sign, that's a miraculous thing, would be. Would it be a plague like God had foisted upon Egypt through Moses? Would the sign be fire from the sky? Like when God lit the drenched altar of Elijah. Maybe it would be a miracle of healing. Uncommon, but it happened. No, this will be a sign, a miraculous thing for them to see. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. You know, they still do that, I think. You tightly wrap a newborn because it feels like the womb. And they used whatever cloth happened to be lying around, or who knows, Mary, maybe Mary brought a blanket. And the manger, we'd call it a feeding trough, and it works. And that's your sign. That's your sign. And I suppose if God is going to visit the earth as a boy, which he did, that would be a pretty miraculous thing, wouldn't it? Especially the way it happened, and it was. Then the angels was joined by lots of other angels, and the exalted shepherds heard that heavenly chorus shout, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then, just like that, the angels were gone. That was different. That was different. And nobody's going to be sleeping. Not until we go into town and check out what those messengers from above have told us. The Holy Family was not expecting any visitors, or at least not these kinds of visitors. What would the exalted shepherds want with them? Why would they seek us out? And don't they know it's the middle of the night? And when they found out that the angels had been speaking to those shepherds, they knew all about angels speaking to people, and the message given to them, they were putting the pieces together, Mary and Joseph, and it all made sense. Mostly. When the shepherds got to Bethlehem, they beheld with their own eyes what the angel was talking about. They beheld with their own eyes the glory of the Lord, the presence of God on earth, which has returned. They beheld that glory of the Lord in the body of that newborn whom Joseph had named Jesus, like the angels told him to. It means Savior, because he'll save his people from their sins. Seeing what they saw, having heard what they heard, they could not help but tell other people about it. It's what shepherds do. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds or pastors told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Yeah, God doesn't need any of us. He doesn't need any of us no more than a man and a woman need a child. But normally they want a child, maybe more. Nor do we have to gather with family like we did at noon today. But a lot of people choose to do just that because we want to. It's the way we're built. We are fundamentally social creatures like our Creator. He did not need Adam and Eve, but he kind of likes the company. Relationships. So do you have any? How are they? God made us to be with us, and so that he could be with us. And what a disappointment it was to see his highest creation do what they did to him. But that could not be the end of it. The glory of the Lord, the thing that makes our God great, that brings him the greatest glory, is not hell. That would be for the Calvinists. It's heaven. The greatest glory of God is heaven. And the glory of the Lord, the presence of God on earth, dwells fully in the body of a newborn babe in the city of David, Bethlehem. And that little baby, the glory of the Lord, the presence of God on earth, grew into a man. And he did miraculous signs. And he spoke always in prose and profound words. It's the way God talks to us, and we talk back to him in prayer, the divine conversation that takes place most clearly in divine service, most often on Sunday morning. The perfect Son of God, born of Mary, born of God, offered the perfect sacrifice on the cross, and he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, from whence he will come to judge all peoples, relationships. And then things will be back the way they're supposed to be, the way they were before the fall into sin. Talk about relationships that are broken irretrievably, irreconcilable differences. A relationship fixed by Jesus, whose birth we celebrate this day. And we look forward to God walking with us in the cool of a better garden, talking to us, because the word of the Lord endures forever, and the relationships will all be fixed, and they will last forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.